We've got some attentive young people. Some young people, some kids that go to Stone City Christian Academy noticed just real quickly this morning that I'm wearing the same suit that I wore to chapel on Wednesday. Thing that they didn't notice, though, was that I have a yellow shirt on and not a white shirt. So they were quick to pick up the obvious. Sometimes we even miss that, don't we? Sometimes we even miss that. I had a boy in Evansville that claimed that he could tell that I changed shirts from Sunday morning to Sunday night. White shirt Sunday morning and a white shirt Sunday night, and he knew the difference. I don't know. Sometimes they pick up on things, and you never know what they're seeing. You never know what they're picking up on. How many of you like my tie today? How many of you don't like, go ahead, it's fine for you to say you don't like my tie. There's no problem with it at all. Anybody want to raise their hand and say, I don't like your tie this morning? I almost said everybody except Brother Gibson. Just because. You know, he moves and eats grass now. He's got a cow valve. Just call him Neb. What's that? Well, I chose this tie specifically to ask that question because I figured that there would be some people that don't like it. That's not as many of them are willing to raise their hand. But I'm guessing that there's a few people more than Brother Gibson that really just don't care for my tie. What is the standard by which you judge somebody's tie to be liked or not liked? Opinions, ideas, feelings, simply our likes and dislikes. You have a $500,000 home that you're wanting to have somebody come in to do the trim work, the finish work. And so you hire the Zieglers to come finish your trim. Jonathan is on the ladder. He's doing the measurements up top, and he's telling me the measurements. And I'm cutting for the work. The difference is that in my tape measure, I've scratched off the entirety of it, and I've put my own measurements. The first inch is only 15 sixteenths. The second inch is 7 eighths. The third inch, you know, whatever, I've scratched it out, and I've put in my own measurement, all the way out to wherever the end is that we'll be using. How well will that work for you? Will anybody be happy with that kind of result? Anybody at all? You know that the standard is different when it comes to measuring for trim. There is a standard. Aren't you glad that the standard is standard? Any tape measure you get, as far as I know, it's based on a standard. The standard measurement of how long is an inch. Now let's take a look at something that's for real. I saw this. It was posted on Facebook. It was posted by an extended family member of mine. I quote, I don't know who wrote it originally, but I quote it. No one has done more for atheism than the Christians who support Trump. This is not a political sermon. Don't go there. This was a bold statement that just hit me. Let me read it to you again. No one has done more for atheism than the Christians who support Trump. Now, without answering out loud, what was your first thought? What was your first thought? Most of us, maybe that's too much, a lot of us are prone to name calling. Surely the author's picture is beside the word idiot in the dictionary. I understand that knee-jerk reaction, but allow me to shift our attention or to channel our thinking in a different direction for this morning at least, and hopefully into the future as well, and ask the question based on that quote, what kind of a life produces that kind of thinking? You see, we look at things differently. We look at life through the lenses of our lives. The lenses of our lives gives us a different opinion. You know, I think and see things the way that I do because of the people who have molded and shaped me while I'm in a certain environment. I continue to think and see things the way that I do because I still surround myself with like-minded people. Iron sharpens iron. And views such as this view that I've given you is like a foreign particle in my eye. It hurts. There's an instant reaction to some opposing views. But what about someone who was shaped and molded by a different ideology or by a different worldview? Someone who didn't have the people that I had to mold and shape me or the environment that I had to mold and shape me. You know, this entitlement environment that we live in nowadays, this dependence on the safety net, has produced a steady desire for socialism. You know, it's interesting how you can talk to people and young people and you ask them about socialism and what they know about socialism, they say, yes, let's bring it on. But then when you go to talk to them about a job that they have and they're going to get $1 for whatever measure and you're going to keep 70 cents out of that dollar and give it to somebody who didn't do anything for it, then it begins to trickle into their mind that something's not quite right. You mean I'm only going to get 30 cents out of that dollar? But you see, the environment or the ideology that they are surrounded by, the things that they are being shaped and molded in, create this thing the way they see it. It's a lens that they're looking through. What about someone who somehow developed a seed of doubt somewhere along the line or somewhere along the way, and their mind and their ideology began to shift? And with that shift, they began to avoid all of those people that they were originally surrounded by who molded and shaped their thinking in another direction, but they began to avoid that environment. Their thought process began to shift, creating a change in their lenses through which they would see things. You asked me, well, what's your point? I'm glad that you asked. Last Sunday, we looked at a verse from the book of Genesis that tells us that man, men and women, boys and girls, was and is created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You see, God gave dignity, gave value, and gave equality right from the very beginning of humanity. Equality in the sense that we are all on the same level ground. Now, to some he gave intelligence, and to some he gave struggle for intelligence. There may be some differences along that line. Some people are beautiful and some people may not be quite so beautiful. It all depends on the lens through which you look. I remember hearing my grandfather, my dad's dad, he would say, every female is pretty. You just have to see it that way. How are we looking? What are we looking through? What is our standard? What is your standard? What is your standard? God provides dignity, value, equality right from the very beginning. The problem is that too often we forget that. It's easy for us to forget that when we are so convinced that I'm right or we're right and nothing else matters. The individual who disagrees is wrong, and far too often name-calling follows. Admittedly, I have to admit it, I find some people's ideas absolutely ridiculous. Absurd. Even to the point of lunacy. You can say amen there. You probably think the same things at times. Because people just don't see it the way that we see it or the way I see it. But that person that may have ideas that border on lunacy was created in the image of God, and he gave that person dignity and value and equal standing with me, even though their intellect is probably above mine. You know, this is what keeps me a little bit, at least closer to a balance, is the reality that they think just as strongly that my ideas are lunacy as well. If I think that they're bordering that picture beside the word idiot, chances are 99.9% likely that they think the same thing about my ideas. Because we're so far apart. It's the differences, the poles apart differences that are there. The opposing roles, the opposing views. But we need to take a pause. Stop. Breathe a little bit. Try to understand the reasons for their lenses. Try to understand what it is about the way that they view things that causes them to view the way that they view. Those reasons that are just as foreign to me as what a toothpick is foreign to my eye. Now, if you're thinking that this is strictly looking at the context or the differing views of politics, then you're missing the bottom line of the text itself. You're missing the reality of what God established at creation, that we are all made in His image. Therefore, we've been given dignity and value. and an equality of standing. One thing we notice quite often in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is that Jesus would take something from the Old Testament and he would clarify, or he would zero in on the understanding. He would explain it to a different level. Maybe that different level was just the level of understanding and clarity. Sometimes he would take it so far that was completely in a different realm, such as the area of murder. You know, we understood in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament people understood murder as the taking of life, but Jesus zeroed in on it and he said, not just simply the taking of life, but if you hate somebody, then you are a murderer at heart. The aspect of adultery, he understood, or the Old Testament understood a certain aspect that was there, and he zeroed it in and said, not just the committing, outwardly committing, but if a man thinks in his heart, there is adultery that has already been committed. See, he brought a clarity to so many things in the Old Testament. Jesus brings a clarity to this particular subject about what is your standard into the New Testament as well. He clarifies this thing of dignity and value and equality, and he's zeroing in on the subject as we look at it in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, so often taken out of context to hide behind, usually. To hide behind, because it says, judge not. And so we clip that out, or people clip that out. Don't judge me. That's not what he's saying exactly or expressly. Let me read it to you from the King James, which probably is the most familiar with the majority of us. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Verse number 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now let's take a look at it from the Amplified, which gives a clarity to it that maybe we can't see and don't see when we just simply read it from the King James. It says it this way in the Amplified, do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure you use to deal out to others, it will be dealt out again to you. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but do not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye, when there is a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, first get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. Now, First of all, I think we need to notice here that Jesus is using a very strong word to describe what he's saying is far too often an occurrence. He's saying that hypocrisy is involved. And I can pretty well, I think that I'm accurate. I think that I can pretty well say that there's not a single one of us here today that want to fall into the category of the descriptive word of being a hypocrite. I think that's a safe judgment. I think that's a safe standard. Who wants to be considered a hypocrite? Too often, though, we think that we can see reality in the other person. Too often, we formulate a perception based on the visible. Based on the visible. The things that we can see clearly. And when we see things with that perspective, we don't think that there's anything that is invisible to our eyes, that we can see the circumstances, the situation, the life, the issue. We can see it very clearly. Then we find, after Jesus is talking about this thing of being a hypocrite, we have to go back then to the beginning, and the Amplified adds two descriptive words to its text, as we see the word judge would include this other measure, and that is the measure of criticizing or even condemning. Not just passing a judgment, but a critical spirit. Could I just insert here one of the things that Jim Burris was one of those men that molded me early in my ministry, in the times of my developing thinking in ministry. He was one that molded and shaped me in many ways of thinking. One of the things that he said, I've heard him say it a number of times, he said, "I know that I'm leaning my soul when my spirit becomes critical." Remember that. I know when I'm lean in my soul because I become critical in my spirit. That wasn't in my notes, but it's good truth anyway. Don't judge, don't criticize, don't condemn. Then he talks about the standard that we use for judgment. What is your standard? Because he's saying that the same standard will be used in judgment against you. Think about it. The same measurement that I use will be used against me. Oh, that all sounds good and wonderful, doesn't it? Because we are looking through the lenses of our vision. And what we see is right. And what we see is accurate. And what we see is the standard. So if my standard comes from what I see, looking through my lenses, what I perceive from what I think I see or what I think I know, then that reverse. Somebody can judge me by what they think they see and what they think they know. But in reality, we only see the outer shell. Reality, that's all we see is the outer shell. We really do have limited vision. We really are human. We really do have finite minds. I know it's a shock to our system, but we really have limited comprehension and limited knowledge. Boy, I hate to admit that, don't you? What is your standard? Is your standard full revelation or limited understanding? Social media. Now, I'm limited to Facebook. I don't have all these other means of communication that people get into nowadays. The only thing that I do is Facebook. But even on Facebook, it makes it clear that anyone who disagrees, there's some kind of negative description that follows. Seems like it's inevitable. The moderators of a thread can do everything that they can to say there's no negativity here, but very seldom, inevitably, it seems like somebody brings in some kind of negative descriptions, name-calling, harshness, meanness. I have to remember that the person that disagrees with me is made in the image of God. Working with kids probably makes it more noticeable. But the principle is true no matter what age group we find ourselves in. You know, if you find a child that is difficult, or there's something that is different about a child, maybe that child's attitude or that child's demeanor or that child's disrespect or something about that child bothers us or gets under our skin and causes us to clench our teeth and pray a little extra, hopefully pray a little extra. If you could go to the principal, Shannon, I'm glad you're here this morning. I dare say, now she wouldn't tell you because... But if you could, go to the principal and say, could you tell me the home life, the circumstances, and if she is aware, and chances are pretty high that she is, there's something about that home or that environment that causes that child. You say, well, that's not right. That shouldn't be. It still does. The molding, the shaping, even if it's nobody deliberately, intentionally shaping them, they're still being molded and shaped by the people and the circumstances around them. It's not just the age group of the children, but it's also, it carries over so much further into all age groups. You see, there's something that is unseen is the root of the difficulty. Social media tends to allow us to vent our problems, But even then, it's only limited. Only limited. Oh, look at the tragedy of that person. Look at the circumstances. You see, it's a real thing. You had no idea, unless you were the kids from Stone City, you had no idea that that was a possibility underneath that jacket this morning. Look at their eyes. The brokenness, the damage, it's all there, isn't it, Sister Edda? It's there, and it's not just the school kids or the public school kids, but it's all around. You say, well, you talk like this. Well, similar. It was different, but similar to this. At a Christian school? Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody told me not too long ago that there was an individual that they just didn't care for, that they just didn't like, that they had a problem with. And I responded. I knew that individual, and I knew that people felt that way about that individual, and I had to respond. You know something? That person has been hurt deeply. Oh, you can't see it on the outside. You don't know what's underneath the jacket, and you don't know what's underneath the vest, but it's there. The damage that has been done by the circumstances and the people that surround them. What is your standard? There's probably still more underneath that hasn't been shared. The pain, the brokenness, the problems, the shaping, the molding, the lack of structure, the mental fatigue, the physical limitations. There's a myriad of things that affect people. And when we look at someone and think that they should know better than that. Have you ever done that? I have. And God's taught me a few lessons along the way. I hope I keep them in my mind. If there's ever one thing that my wife has to corral me on, it's this very subject. Because she knows how I feel about it, but sometimes in my humanity, I fail to keep it ever before me. And she'll preach it back at me. Mean as she is. Sometimes somebody has to keep us in balance with it. They should know better than that. We're only looking at the facade. The vest and the jacket, they cover all of that stuff that's gone on the inside, and they can't see it the way that I think they should see it. They can't feel it the way that I think they should feel it. They don't understand it the way that I understand it. And in light of spiritual things, sometimes somebody that we think has the light on something may not. I'm not using that as an excuse for somebody to get away with something. God knows exactly what has been going on, and I frankly don't. And neither do you, more than likely. We need to stop and consider what is probably not visible to our understanding, not visible to our sight, not visible to our knowledge. Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged again. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam?" Just a little further down in that same chapter in Matthew, Jesus, once again, I give it to you. I think I said it last Sunday, but once again, let me share it with you. The overtone or the underlying theme of it all. In verse number 12, Jesus said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Whatever your standard is, lacking understanding, lacking perfect knowledge, lacking perfect discernment, the same standard will be used against you. Now that golden rule that we know, that I gave you in verse number 12, don't be confused with the opposing view. Do unto others what others do unto you. It's not what he said. Do unto others what you want them, how you want them. Judge them the way you want them to judge you. And if we judge them with limited vision and limited knowledge and limited understanding, then be willing, be open to the reality that that is going to be the case for you. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. What is your standard? Now, at the last minute, when I was coming upstairs at the end of Sunday school, I felt very strongly to include, in case that I'm talking to somebody that is broken, shattered by whatever, the pains you're not talking about, the pains that you're not sharing, the pains that you don't let anybody else know. Don't forget, the broken crayon covers colors just as well as the unbroken. It depends on who's holding the crayon. If you let God hold the crayon, it doesn't matter how broken a person is. God can redeem that brokenness and color a beautiful picture in a painting. I don't know why God wanted me to bring those, but I stopped in at Janae's room to grab them on my way up. I figured there was a broken one in there somewhere. Are you broken? Do you have some pains? You have something that's troubling? Let God have the color. Let God have the crayon. Let's be considerate of what we don't see when we look at somebody else in their life. Let's stand together this morning. I'm pretty sure that you don't want Jonathan and me to come do your trim work at your half a million dollar home under those diverse standards, changing standards. What is your standard this morning? What lens are we looking through this morning? Jesus wants us to look through the lens of living the way he wants us to live, praying, seeking, but be careful because we do not know and understand what somebody else looks like underneath the facade of their outward appearance. God help me. Praise God. You still don't have to like my tie. That's okay. Praise God. Praise God. Is every heart clear this morning? Dr. Matlock, would you dismiss us in prayer?